And we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17. We're going to read from the 11th verse. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. Notice it was together, it was unified. And said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went. That stands out to me. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice. It wasn't a quiet voice. It wasn't a whisper. But it was with a loud voice, glorified God. The CEV rendition of the scripture says, when one of them discovered that he was healed, he came back shouting praises to God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Your neighbor's faith had made thy faith had made thee whole. As they went, was healed, loud voice, glorified God. Thy faith made thee whole. I want to preach to you, talk to you this morning on this thought. Infectious praise. Infectious praise. Would you lift your voices unto the Lord and just thank the Lord this morning for His Word? Can we do that? Come on, there was probably 20 that stood up that had an answer to a prayer this month already. What can God do today? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We appreciate you, God. We know that your presence is in this place and your glory has filled this house, God. But we've come, we bow before you, God. We humble ourselves before you, God, that we would be exalted, God. We draw nigh to you, oh God. We believe that the Holy Ghost, God, will go forth. The anointing of your word would move, oh God. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We thank you, oh God. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' name. Somebody say in Jesus' name as you're seated. Amen. God bless you. As they went. Infectious is as from one person to another or from one part of the body to another. Tending to spread from one to another. In fact, if you look up the word infectious in a thesaurus, it means it has the word spreading there. We are part of the body of Christ. Paul tells us much about that in the New Testament. Of some have different gifts and all one body and different parts of the body, but we are collectively the body of Christ. The church is the people. The church makes up the body of Christ. This beautiful facility that we have in a prime location, and I'm not being disrespectful, but it could be used for whatever somebody really wants to use it for, as long as it's legal. And there could be illegal things that take place if they don't get caught, but because the believers, the Holy Ghost filled people that are baptized in Jesus' name, the group that gathers on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. We are what we call the church. We are an apostolic Pentecostal Christians, believers, and we are the church. But the church is not defined to only a location or to a building, because this building, God forbid, could crumble here later today, or we would could relocate to someday to a bigger building as we continue to grow. But the church is always going to be the church, because the people make up the church. And so it's spreading. The gospel was meant to spread. It was in Acts chapter 1 verse 9. It says, "And you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." It's because the gospel was meant to spread. In fact, it was in Acts chapter 2 verse 39 where the scripture says, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What we have today, the Holy Ghost and a relationship with the Lord and our worship and the gifts of the Spirit and our doctrine, it is meant to spread. It is meant to be infectious. It is meant to be something that could not be contained to one person, locale, or a group of people, but it is meant to be something that would spread no matter where we go, no matter who we're around. We ought to have a relationship with the Lord that whomever comes in contact with us, they can be infected in a good way by the Spirit of the Lord. They can be infected not by personality, but what they say, there's something different. What you're feeling is the presence of a holy God that lives and resides in me. These men were infected with leprosy. 10 men to be exact. A leper is somebody that has leprosy. Leprosy in biblical times was different than what we would refer to or know today, specifically as Hansen's disease, which was defined in 1873. It's different in some ways. It's not exact, but biblical leprosy was something that was thought to be untreatable. It was thought to be infectious. That it was very contagious in biblical times. The understanding at that point in time was that it was. Leprosy affects the skin, the nerves, the eyes, the upper respiratory tract. It's an infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring skin sores, nerve damage in the arms, legs, and skin sores around the body. Today, we have a variation of that, and it affects about 180,000 people too. Just to kind of, we're not very aware of it today. Some are that are in the medical profession, but in modern times, I could relate to you as Mother Teresa, who was in Calcutta. She worked she worked very close with lepers, and so it disfigures parts of your body. You could lose a finger, or you could lose part of your nose. Your face could become chunks of your face, it has been said, to come off. You could lose toes. In fact, folks that have leprosy have been known to walk on their heels because they're missing some toes. It isn't something that you always see, because it's not very common for us to walk around the street and see somebody that has leprosy. The scripture was very clear. In fact, the scripture is very clear. Not was, but the law and the scripture is very clear about what to do and how to handle a person that have biblical leprosy. They were to keep a distance, because it was forbidden by law and by culture and custom to come near to those that did not have leprosy, because there was a fear of being infected by them. Jesus was very aware. He was very conscious. In fact, he made it very clear in the scripture in Matthew 5 and 17. He says, "Don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law." Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord is still fulfilling some things in each and every one of our lives today, that He's still fulfilling things, that even though those that have prayed have passed away, that those prayers are not in vain, that He's still answering the prayers of the elders of days gone by, that He's still fulfilling the word of truth today, that the prophets of age have gone, but the prophecy is still true and still being going praying for today. Aren't you glad that there's things that we're praying for today? And God forbid, we may not see them, but the prayers of the righteous are not in vain, that God would still hear the prayers of your people, that He's still working things out in your marriage and in your finances. He's working things out in your future, unbeknownst to you. This is reason enough just to give the Lord some praise.
Yeah.
We get to this point in Scripture, in our text, and Jesus, as it says in Luke 17 and 11, was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And He entered into a certain village, and there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar. They were identified by their condition.
Yeah.
They were identified by their situation. Luke, who of all the writers of the gospel, has a tendency to be the most descriptive, and the one with much detail. In fact, myself personally, out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the one that I tend to read more and rely on when I'm preaching and studying for reference is Luke, because of the details that he puts in there. Luke, the beloved physician. And so, but he himself, he doesn't even tell us the names of these individuals, because it's really it's irrelevant of the names of the individuals, because it could be anybody today. It could be any of us today that have been identified by our situation, our predicament, our sin, our issue. It shouldn't matter when we come into the place of worship. It shouldn't matter when we come to the altar and we lay things down before the Lord. It shouldn't matter what the situation is. What should matter is that we lay it down before the Lord, knowing that there's nothing new under the sun, that if God has done it for other people, God can do it for us. And so that ought to be an encouragement to you today. And it's an encouragement to Pastor this morning to say, you know what? You may identify me by an issue. You may call me an alcoholic. You may call me a drug user. You may call me a malicious person. But the Lord says, you know what? You lay that down at the altar. You ask for forgiveness. You repent of your sins. I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. You get baptized in my name. You get buried in immersion in the name of Jesus. Your sins are washed away. You become a new creation. They may call you what they thought you were before, but I call you daughter. I call you son. I call you blessed. I call you anointed. That ought to be reason enough this morning for us to give God a praise. Give God a praise. These men had an infectious disease, and they stood afar off. You see, sometimes your issue or situation or your sins can keep you at a distance from people and the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's remember that biblical leprosy was considered contagious. People who had leprosy were required to stay away from people and to announce their presence as they were coming. In fact, it would not be it would be appropriate that if somebody with leprosy, biblical leprosy, in this scripture setting and time, were to walk through the back door of the church, they would unclean. So we would have a heads up. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45. I'm laying a foundation here. It says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be with him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." They were required to live in isolation, all the lepers together. Leviticus chapter 13 through chapters 15 tells us the process, the treatment, and the signs of leprosy. Specifically, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and I'm paraphrasing, but "He shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest." There was order given to Moses. There has always been order and process in the Word of God. Always. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that has order and process? God is not the author of confusion. Come on, somebody. And God can speak and He gives direction. And we can follow the instructions that He provides. Isaiah 28 and 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Sometimes leprosy would go into remission. If the leper had reason to believe that the leprosy was gone, he was to present himself to the priest and who would declare the leper clean. And so Jesus is traveling. He's very well aware of the process. He's very well aware of the custom and the law of the day. And these 10 men meet him from afar off. They're afar off. They knew their place. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These 10 men that had one thing in common, but neither of them had a solution to help one another. But they, who knows how many of them were missing fingers or how many toes were missing? Who knows their name? How many of them have had leprosy for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years? We don't have this information in the scriptures, but that really is irrelevant today, because there's something about these men that we could understand, is that they were isolated. They probably felt unwanted. They probably felt not valuable or loved, because they live outside in isolation. Leprosy has the ability to disfigure a person, to mutilate the faces. This means that we today that have fingers and thumbs and toes and eyes and ears and mouth and nose, that we ought to appreciate the things that God has given us, that we take for granted every single day. That ought to be reason enough for us to remember that when we get into the presence of the Lord, if you can lift your hands, baby, you better be lifting your hand. If you can clap your hands, you ought to clap your hands. If you can jump and leap for joy or lift up your voice, you ought to do it, because it's a praise, and you got to let it out, because you're giving a praise to the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That's the story as we read in our scripture text. Is notice that these folks would normally not associate or hang out with anybody else but people that were like them. And there's been, there's been other people that we read in the scripture that were Samaritans. But one thing you notice that Luke puts and writes, he says, "And he was a Samaritan." Tells us it's because it meant something. Samaritan was identified as somebody that was an outcast. So this man was not, he had a double whammy against him. He was an outcast by his culture, but he was also an outcast by his physical condition. And you look that the man, in fact, the scripture tells us that these did not, they would not associate one with another. Samaritans and the Jews would not associate one with another. Let's remember the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, or the woman, a Samaria at the well with Jesus in John chapter 4, and all the way through verse 30. But when you listen to Pastor, when you are in need, you really don't care who helps you.
Right.
Come on, somebody. When you're in despair or distress, or you're desperate, you really don't care where the water comes from. Just give me some water. You don't really care if it's a bologna sandwich or a peanut butter sandwich. When you're hungry, if it's food, you want to eat it. You may be used to eating steak and lobster at home, but when you're hungry and somebody says, "Are you hungry?" and they give you crackers and cheese, you're thankful to have crackers and cheese. Can I tell you this morning that there may be a lot of things that we want and we need and we think that we need, but there's something that we all need to do a better job with, and that's giving God the praise, whether we're in the church or out of the church, on our job, at home. It's giving God the praise and say, "You know what? There's something that He wants. There's something that He needs, and I have it, and I'm going to give Him a praise." This man was a Samaritan, affected with leprosy. You imagine living like this? I mean, seriously. I know flu season's coming. In fact, in 2 weeks, Dr. Walker's going to be sharing with us some best practices with health and wellness. But when Pastor gets the flu or the cold, Mr. Coronado, it's like everything stops. It's like I'm about to die, you know? I feel like I'm coughing up a lung and not really coughing up anything, you know? Any of the other men feel the same way? Right? Because we know mamas don't, they don't stop. They just keep going. But these men, wonder how many of their fellow leper brothers died. I mean, how many of them, they sitting around and saw their finger fall off? You know, it's just not trying to be grotesque, but it's reality. Because that was the effect of leprosy. Imagine the moaning and the distress that took place all day and all night. This was something that they lived with. It was a real issue. These men, they lifted up their voice and began to make a petition to Jesus. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." One of the things that, if you're taking notes this morning, is it's us. It wasn't on me. Have mercy on me. It was on us. When was the last time that we prayed for somebody else? Say, "Oh God," instead of, "Lord, bless me and help me and forgive me." When was the last time we prayed, "Lord, help my brother. Bless my brother. Use my brother." When was the last time we praised the Lord because of what He did for somebody else? The Bible says, "Rejoice with those that rejoice." Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time we got excited and ran the aisles and sent somebody a card and got on social media and bragged on Jesus about what He did for somebody else? Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else's child got baptized. Somebody else was healed. Somebody else was blessed. Somebody else was saved and delivered. He restored their marriage and said, "You know what? That's the God that I serve. That if He did it for them, He can do it for me." Because it's infectious. It's contagious what God does. Because He's no respecter of person. These men were afar off. They lifted up their voice. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." How many here today are far off with your relationship with the Lord? Maybe you find yourself in a backslidden state. Maybe you finally discovered that you actually do have some imperfections. Perhaps the things are not as smooth in your life that you thought they were. There's a little trouble in your neighborhood. You've actually finally looked in the mirror for yourself with the Word of God and seen some spiritual disfigurement for yourself. There's always been some sort of comparison or typology between leprosy and sin. Even though you saw leprosy on the outside of the body, the real cause of the disease was lying beneath the surface. You see, the sores and other problems were symptoms of the disease, but it ran deeper than what we'd even know. The root of sin runs deep. Sin proceeds from a sinful heart. That's why Mark 7:20 tells us, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man from within, out of the corazón of men, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye." Not the stank eye, the evil eye. "Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things, all these evil things come from within and defile a man." If what we know, notice this, about ourselves, it's what we know about ourselves that we keep from other people. We hide it, we dress it up. But the Lord sees all and knows all about everybody. Proverbs 28, 13 tells us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Amen. We cannot cover up sin forever. No. We can hide it for a little bit. We may be isolated for a little while. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ. And these men called out unto the Lord and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Lepers that knew who they were. They knew very well that they were the outcast, and one was an outcast of the outcast. And that did not prevent them from crying out to the Lord and saying, have mercy on us. And then He hears them. He responds. Did you know that if you call out to Him, He'll hear you and He'll respond?
Amen.
Yes, you will.
But we have to call out to Him. We have to, and then we have to do what He's asking us to do. We got a basic instruction before leaving earth right here. We have the Word of God. It tells us what we need to do, how often, and it gives us principles, thou shalt not, and it gives us order, it gives us doctrine, it gives us the plan of salvation. It'll help you with your marriage, it'll help you with your finance. Everything you need is in the Word of God. That if there's anything you want to fall in love with, if there's anything you want to be buried with, if there's anything you want to let your life be guided by, it's by the infallible Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus responded to their cry and their need right away. Sometimes we wonder if He's even hearing us. We know that we wonder if people hear us. Right? Can you hear me now? Right? But Psalms 34:17 tells us, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth them and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. Proverbs 13:18. I just read that. These men cried out to Jesus, and He hears them, and then He responds. Notice this. He responds. If we can understand that if we cry out to Him, He will answer us. Sometimes a no is an answer. Sometimes no answer is an answer. It's hard. But that ought not to minimize as we go and do, as the Scripture says, as they went, as we go in obedience to what the Lord is telling us to do. That ought not to minimize us giving the Lord praise for what He has done. Just think about that. See, sometimes you have to praise the Lord in advance. Been many a times I've had to just grit my teeth and just say, Lord, I don't understand, but the door closed, and I praise You for the closed door, even though I don't get it. But I'm going to praise You anyways, because I assumed I knew what was on the other side of that door if I would have kept walking. But only You, O God, all sovereign, all powerful, all knowing, the immutable, unchanging God, knows exactly what might have been on the other side of that door, because You're high and lifted up and Your train fills the temple, oh God. So you know what? As I go, as I have to turn around and go back down that long road and say, man, I was so close. You know what? I'm going to give You the praise, and I'm going to give You the glory and the honor anyways. Sometimes Your healing, Your answer, Your blessing, Your anointing comes in places and ways with people and circumstances as you're going to outreach, as you're writing your tithing check, as you're going to church, as you leave the altar call, you're healed, you're blessed, you're delivered as you go.
Amen.
You got to remember, these men called on Jesus. They called Him because they were in need. They were in situation. He tells them, go show yourselves unto the priest. In fact, right before that, it says, and He saw them, and He tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. That's why the Scripture tells us to be a doer of the Word.
Amen.
You know, we've all have said, well, I know. I know. Shouldn't be using the credit card. I know. I know. I shouldn't have eaten that third tamale. I know, I know, I know. Right? Shouldn't be dating him. I know, I know, I know. I know, I know. And we do the same thing with our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Oh, we know what the Scripture says. Well, you ought to call Pastor. I know. I know what he's going to say. Right? Well, if we know, what's up? Why don't we do it? Right? Well, if we know. If we know he sees all, right? Well, I'm out of town. I'm on vacation. Last I read, the earth is the Lord's. Right? He's looking, right? He sees you trying to be something you're not because you're out of town. Come on. Who are you really fooling? Who are you trying to play? You're not playing the Lord. He's just come on, somebody. If you really, really get it, well, the Lord knows my heart. Well, you better be sure that your heart is clean and pure and you got pure hands. Come on, somebody. We ain't playing nobody but ourselves. There's something about obedience. Obedience. These 10 lepers obeyed. Obedience will get you saved and it'll keep you saved.
Yeah.
Obedience will get you delivered.
Yeah.
Obedience will get you healed. Obedience will get you set free. All of us are here this morning have all faced some things that we didn't want to do. It would have been easier to be stubborn and rebellion and rebellious and disobedience. And maybe some of us lived through those seasons in our lives and we're still paying the consequences for that, right? We've got forgiven sins, but we still got lingering issues because of disobedience. Can I tell you, we don't need to have any more of that because we know too much. We've seen too much. We've got a God that cares too much. And if he's brought you out of the things before, just be obedient and he'll keep you from the things that are about to come.
Thank you, Jesus.
So they go to show themselves to the priest, and I'm trying to hurry to a close, and they obeyed. They responded with obedience.
Yeah.
So Savannah, has anybody ever told you, well, if you would just do what I say, it'd be all good? Any parents ever say that?
Yeah.
Right? These men give a great example of just doing what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So these infectious men were cleansed en route because of obedience. One of them, the scripture says in Luke 17:15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The infected man saw that he was cleansed while he responded in obedience. And he turned back and he wanted to give the Lord praise. It wasn't enough to go with the other 9 and to say, well, I'm just doing what he said. This man who was by society unworthy in more ways than one stopped and turned back while the other 9 kept going. This one man, the outcast of the outcasts, returned to thank him. The leprous men could not cure themselves. We have different ways in the scripture, 2 examples specifically, of people with leprosy. Miriam in Numbers chapter 12. And then we have Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And in fact, one that stands out to me. This is just free. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about the accolades of Naaman. And then it says, and he was a leper. That stands out to me, Aunt Terry, because we could have all these accolades, but still have sin in our life. We could have all these accolades and still be dealing with depression and fear We could have all these accolades and still be wrestling with pride. This man was cleansed en route to obedience, and he stops. It's as if he said the other night, "You just keep going your way. I got something I need to do." I wonder what thoughts went through his mind. "I'm a Samaritan. I'm not worthy. He's a Jew. I ought to just take what I've gotten already, not just make no noise about it. I ought to just appreciate what I have. I'm not just going to take the gift that the Lord has given to me and be selfish with it. I'm not going to just take my deliverance and my healing and the blessings and the anointings and the generational prayers that God has answered, and I'm not just going to just hide them or bury them, but I'm going to let my thanks and my praise be a blessing to somebody else. I'm going to just take a time out right here. I'm going to take a praise break. And I'm just going to take a few moments and just thank the Lord for what He has done. Because I don't know if He's going to do anything else for me, but He's already done more than enough. And so I'm just going to take a few moments and thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what He's done. Because He's been so good to... You see the glory of people in the church, but you don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through or what they're walking through. You may see them up on the platform, but you don't know the hell that they're fighting to get in here. Baby, we ought to just take a moment just to give God some praise and some thanks and some understanding to say, you may be a second, a third, a fourth generation Christian, but thank God you're a second and a third and a fourth generation Christian. We ought to thank the Lord for every door knocker, for every Bible study teacher, for every Sunday school teacher, for every good Christian on the job that didn't lose their cool and go postal like some people when they got a pizza. But we ought to thank the Lord for every answered prayer and just begin to praise Him, begin to worship Him. What do you say we take a few minutes this morning and just begin to thank the Lord, begin to praise Him, because it's infectious. When one praises Him, somebody else praises Him. When somebody else claps their hand, somebody else lifts their voice. Come on, praise Him. Begin to praise Him this morning. Come on, begin to thank Him this morning. Come on, let it go, let it go, let it go. He deserves your praise. He deserves your worship. He's worthy of it. He thought you were worth saving this morning. He thought you were worth dying on the cross for this morning. You're worth it, but He's worth our praise. He's worth our worship. He's worth every thank you, every God bless you. Come on this morning. Let's worship. Let's thank the Lord this morning. This man stopped everything and he thanked the Lord. The others kept going. Some of us need to stop everything and just take a praise break. Just stop everything and begin to thank the Lord. We don't got to wait till Thanksgiving time. We can thank the Lord right now. We don't got to wait till Christmas time. We can thank the Lord right now. You may not make it to Christmas. You may not make it till tomorrow. What about just thanking Him right now for what He's done? Come on. It's infectious. It's infectious. It's contagious. I hope you get infected this morning by praise. I hope you get infected this morning by somebody's adoration unto God. I hope you get infected this morning by somebody's thank you, Jesus, where you step out of the aisle for yourself and say, you know what? I don't know about anybody else. I don't know if my husband will come with me, but I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to thank the Lord. I don't know if my kids are going to come in right now, but I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to thank the Lord because He hears me and He answers and He's done so much for me. I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to thank Him. I'm coming for you. I'm going to hit you with this cheap shot, but I'm going to do it because I love you. What if your response this morning was going to expedite or prevent God from doing anything else for you because of your response of unthankfulness. Oh God, I don't want to be unthankful. I know it's much easier to shout with the choir singing and Sunday night's excitement. But this morning I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you, oh God. Because you're so worthy. You're worthy. I thank you this morning. Because you thought I was worth everything to die for my sins. You, God, you've healed me. You've blessed me. You've forgiven me over and over and over again, oh God. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Come on, we don't need to hide behind the beat of the drum. But let's just thank the Lord. Some of us have so much to thank God for, we could stay here all week long thanking Him. I thank you that I didn't crash my car on that freeway. When I know I shouldn't have been driving, I should have pulled over and got some sleep. I thank you, God. 30 years ago, you filled me with the Holy Ghost, God. I thank you this morning, God, that I got a church I can go to and pray, God. Thank God that you made it through the recession of 2007. You're still here. Thank God your marriage made it. Thank God you didn't put the needle in your arm. An OD on some things that you shouldn't have been doing anyways. Thank the Lord. You got your right mind. You got sins. You got faults. You got issues. But you stand before a holy God. I'm out to praise you and thank you. Is what I do. See, I can't help you with this. We got to be thankful and praise the Lord on our own. Come on. She's going to lead you in song, but she can't thank the Lord for you. Come on, your marriage may be on the rocks. Thank the Lord, you still got a marriage. Well, Pastor's not much of a marriage. Well, thank the Lord, He's about to answer your prayer. Thank the Lord, you have a job. Well, Pastor, I wish I made more. Praise Him. That's it. That's it, Brother Ivan. He's protected you. He's protected you. That's it. Come on. That's it, Sister Aguayo. Generations in the church. That's it, Brother Ray. Through dialysis, you're a soul winner. Come on. No. Come on, some of you are serving the Lord by yourself. Thankful that you're in the house of God. Thank Him. Thank Him that someday your kids and your wife are going to be in the altars with you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Some of you have been around the world. You've seen some terrible things that God has kept you from it. He's brought you back safe. I praise you.